This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon. It is Friday. The sun is shining.
It's happy.
It is 4 o'clock, which means it is Back Row and Chill time. I'm Johanna James, and today I'm joined by...
Come on, guess who's back again.
Otherwise known as King K.
Yeah.
On all social medias, if you want to check him out. We've got a jam-packed show full of film and entertainment knowledge. We're going to be chit-chatting about the latest films that are coming out, what you should be seeing, what you should be watching on your Netflix and your Amazons and your Now TVs. And oh my God, there's so many now. It's going to be we have got a plethora of guests coming in to chit-chat about all of the shows that they're putting on and being in.
Shows and shows.
Just love art and entertainment here. If you guys want to get involved in the show, just tweet us at FUBAR Radio and we will shout you out. Ooh. If you want to have a little 5 minutes of FUBAR fame.
Free promo. I'll shout myself out, okay? Hashtag can I ask a question?
Come on, tweeting in. Does that count? Get involved. Or you can email us directly if you want to. Chill
Bring
at
it back
FUBAR
to 2000s.
Radio.
Email. Oh, MSN. I
think email is going to slightly become like post mail. Do you know what I mean?
And
it's going to be like, oh, you emailed. Sorry, I didn't get that. I only check it once a year.
It's like letters. Who sends letters
exactly.
now?
Exactly.
How do you even send
them? When was the last time that you wrote a letter?
I don't think I've ever written a letter. I wrote a love letter, but that's a story for another day.
Okay, we're going to play a song and then you're definitely going to tell us another time you wrote a love letter. If you would like to email us a love letter, you can email at chill@foobarradio.com. And again, we will shout you out.
Yes.
So I've gone for a little collection of my movie songs this week. I have been loving the Deadpool soundtrack, so I'm going to sort of like throw it back a little bit to that. So we're going to go for a little bit of salt and pepper. Let's see if this. Whenever I shout out what I'm going to play, the computer then doesn't want to play it.
Shall
we see whether this works or not? Hey, oh yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Shoot,
baby. Shoot.
Ooh. How you doing, baby? Shoot. No, not you. The bow-legged one. Yeah. What's your name?
Shoot.
Damn, baby. That sounds sexy.
Here I go again. Oh, girls, man. What's my weakness?
Man.
Okay, then chillin', minding my business.
Word.
You saw that I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going on with something kinda wicked. Had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I asked for the digits. I hope no. Don't make me see what I want. Slip, slide to it swiftly. Felt it in my hips, so I dip back to my bag of tricks. Then I flip for a tip. Made me wanna do tricks on them. Lick them like a lollipop should be licked. Came to my senses and I chill for a bit. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell, hell. Makes me wanna shoot.
The back, brother, wanna thank your mother for a butt like that. Can I get some fries with that shake booby? If looks could kill, you would be an Uzi or a shotgun bang. What's up with that thing? I wanna know, how does it hang? Straight up, wait up, hold up, Mr. Lover. Like Prince said, you're a sexy mother. Well, I like them real wild. B-boy style by the mile. Smooth black skin with a smile. Bright as the sun, I wanna have some fun. Come and give me some of that yum yum chocolate chip honey dip. Can I get a scoop?
Please.
Baby, take a ride in my coupe. You make me wanna
shoot. Baby, don't you know I wanna shoot, baby?
Shoot. Well, let me bring it back to the subject. Steps on the set. Make you get hot, make you work up a sweat. When you sit to my loo, my darling, not falling in love, but I'm falling for you. When I get you, bet your bottom dollar you were best under pressure.
Yo, Sandy, I wanna like taste you.
Get your lips wet, cause it's time to have pep. On your mark, get set, go, let me go, let me shoot to the next man in a three-piece suit. I spend all my dough, Ray Nee cutie. Shoot, shooby-dooby, like Scooby-Dooby-Doo. I love you in your big jeans. You give me nice dreams. You make me wanna scream. Ooh, I like what you do. When you do what you do, you make me wanna shoot. Look at him. He is the cutest brother in here. And he's coming this way. Ooh.
S and the P wanna get with me. Cool, uh-huh. But I'm wicked G. Yeah. Hit skins, but never quickly. Right. I hit the skins for the hell of it. Just for the yell I get. For the smell of it. Smelly. You want my ball? Here's the hot rod.
Hot
12
rod.
Inches to a yard and have you sounding like a. Big one of a 6'2 wanna hit you.
So what you wanna do?
What you wanna do?
I wanna shoot.
I can't not move when that song comes on.
I agree.
Especially if I'm walking down the road and I start doing some sort of sashay. Love it. That was from the Deadpool soundtrack. Deadpool 2 coming out. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm going to watch it, definitely.
I am so excited. Even just the trailer. Have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's like him walking along and he sees some guy getting mugged and he's like, oh no, quick, got to change into Deadpool. And it's basically making fun of the fact that Superman rips off his clothes in a second.
I see.
So he's changing in a phone box and it takes him so long to change, like, realistically Deadpool. Into Deadpool. By the time he comes out, the guy's been shot and it's like, oh well.
Deadpool humour. On to the next one.
It's brilliant. I like a bit of Ryan Reynolds. Actually, I don't like Ryan Reynolds. I like Deadpool.
Ah, I see.
I don't actually like really like Ryan Reynolds. I don't think
I like you, Ryan Reynolds. If you happen to be listening to VooBar, that is Johanna that said that's not me.
Can you imagine? Yes. I'd say it to his face. Sorry, mate. Don't really like you. Love your character.
Probably gets that a lot. Actually, that might happen.
I think I've got a lot of balls when it comes to celebrities.
Seriously?
Yeah. Let me tell you.
That's what I was about to say.
Let me tell you what happened this week.
Uh oh.
Because it was a bit. Epic.
Okay.
So there is a new movie coming out called Logan Lucky.
I saw that. I was at the premiere.
Yeah, did you? Yeah. Oh, just drop that in there.
Sorry, as you do.
Just when
everybody
premiere.
Gets premieres.
Yeah, so I got to go and interview Channing Tatum and Adam Driver this week, which I was very excited about because, I mean, come on, it's fucking Channing Tatum. It is Magic Mike. you know? And so I'm known for, when I interview celebrities, for being a little bit ballsy and a little bit alternative and a little bit weird. I've got trying to make viral content.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, the PR company were quite new. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know the kind of things that I do in interviews. And they, through some sort of misorganization, they didn't double check what I was going to do when I got into the interview room.
Okay.
I thought it went pretty well. And it was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. But the PR were absolutely horrified.
What happened? Tell us.
So I went in and it was obviously Adam Driver, who's the baddie in Star Wars, mm-hmm. and Channing Tatum. And what did I do? Well, I ordered a whiskey because we were sitting in a bar because I heard that Channing wanted to set it in a bar so that it would be more relaxed. And there was a beautiful bar of this hotel in London. And I thought they were going to be drinking, like cocktails or whatever, even though it was like 11 in the morning. And so when they were like, would you like a drink? I said, yeah, I'll have a whiskey. And they went, on ice? I went, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big drinker.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought, I'm going to use this to comedic effect. So I'm halfway through my first interview question and I take a little swig of whiskey.
Yeah.
And then I then spit it all, like I spray it out, and then I start coughing and spluttering and then just saying like, not my drink. Oh no. And then like Channing bursts out laughing and they're like, oh, be okay. And then a little bit later on in the interview I take another swig and I go, oh my God, I forgot. Yeah, no.
I love it.
And then Channing offered me his tea because he had a cup of tea. He was like, would you like some tea instead? And I went, oh no thanks, I don't like tea. And then I said to Adam Driver, he had a glass of water, and I was like, what's this? And he said, water. I was like, do you mind? And I just took a glug of his water, and then I was like, oh, sparkling again, not my favourite. And I was making all this kerfuffle, but apparently the PR were like, oh my God,
seriously,
you cannot touch Adam Driver's water, how disrespectful are you?
Oh my God.
I then proceeded to ask them if they would tell a joke in their lovely deep south accent from the movie.
Yeah.
And so I started him off and I said, hey, what about my joke would be, what do you call a lesbian dinosaur?
What do you call a lesbian dinosaur?
Lick a lot of puss.
Oh my God!
Which... which went down really well with Channing. Adam Driver, not so much. He
okay.
Was like, Channing was brilliant, and then he then raised a toast to me and
seriously,
said, "I've
what
got
a nice guy."
And he was like, "Well, not to me, but he was like, I've got a joke," and he was like, "To all the lesbians, what a waste."
Oh my God.
And I could see the PR people just fainting in the background and scrambling. They were doing signals at me like, cut this, cut this, cut this. And then, so I thought, no, I'm not cutting this. I'm going to continue.
Of course.
Then I whipped out my makeup bag and I said, hey, Channing, Adam, would you make me over to be an American Beauty Queen? Because I've always wanted to be American Beauty Queen. And Channing was like, yeah, sure. And he like dived over and just started putting makeup on my face. I had Channing Tatum touch my face.
That is a claim to fame.
And he put like eyeliner all around my face and lipstick and everything. And it was beautiful. It was brilliant. But apparently that is like a massive no-no to get
seriously?
To get any of the stars to touch you.
Oh, my God.
But Channing said he had a four-year-old daughter, so he was actually like really down with all this like beauty pageant girls makeup shit. It was great. It was a really great interview. But at the end, I got really in trouble with the PR company.
Oh, well, they actually said something to you?
Oh, yeah. They asked my producer if I was drunk.
Charming. Was your presenter drunk?
I think I might be blacklisted from that PR company now.
Oh.
But I'm kind of cool with it because at the end of the day, Channing Tatum did my makeup and, you know, I made him laugh many a time.
Exactly.
So it was a win-win for me.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they withheld the tape, so I do not get to show people on my social media actually what happened. I'm just going to have to like trust the story.
You have to believe your word.
Have to believe what
do
happened.
Do you believe her, guys, at us at FUBAR Radio?
But isn't it crazy? Because I heard when there was a, you know, in some of the meetings with the PR people afterwards, the PR company heard that, like hearsay or Chinese whispers, yeah, when it gets worse and worse. They were like, yeah, apparently she stormed in, she demanded whiskey, and then she spat it all over the floor. I was like, I didn't do that. Someone asked me if I wanted a drink, and I only spat it on myself.
I don't think that's quite what happened, guys. What actually happened?
I didn't spit on Channing. I spat on myself.
People just take the fun out of it. Like, if they enjoyed themselves,
man,
then what's the problem?
Apparently, Channing afterwards said, "No, that was really cool. I was really down with that." Adam Driver, not so much.
Oh, so he's oh my God.
He wasn't.
He's quite strict.
Yeah, I think he was more of an actor than.
Oh, I see.
I think Channing, maybe he's used to doing all like 22 Jump Street, hanging out with like Jonah Hill and Seth Rogen and stuff.
Definitely.
So he's more.
He's down with the kiddies.
He's down with the kiddies.
Oh, okay, that didn't. Okay, I know. PR company. Anyway, people go.
Hey, Rupert, shut up.
I forget you can do sound effects.
I can. That was me. That was my voice. That was my impersonation of Stormzy. Yeah, I'm really good at that. Yeah, I can do. I can do Kanye West actually as well.
Me, now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
Yeah, see, I'm not good at that.
I love that. I want one. I want a complimentary one. Can I make a joke? And you got a did it.
I don't.
That's what, something we can improve next time.
For sure. Oh, actually, I do have something I could put after a joke. Tell a joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The interrupting cow. Ah! I hate you. I hate you so much.
Right, we're getting to the part of the show. Well, this is the beginning of the show,
yeah.
That we normally do entertainment news. So this is where I've been researching sort of what's going on in the world of the Hollywood, I guess, and
the
internet and British film industry and all that stuff. So to kick it off, The Rock, aka Dwayne Johnson,
yes,
was the most well-paid actor in the world. 65 million he made last year.
Was.
And then Mark Wahlberg has like sauntered on in and just taken his trophy, and he's earned 68 million last year from his movies, from like Transformers and I don't know what else he would do. But they actually did a movie together, didn't they, Mark Wahlberg and The Rock? Yeah, I think they did. What was it called? It's on Netflix anyway. It's like a bodybuilder's comedy. Called like Pump
Pain and
It. Pain and Gain.
Yeah.
It's not called Pump It. That's a different movie.
I got your back.
That's a different movie I was watching.
Oh, okay. What time channel was that on?
Emma Stone is the highest paid actress.
Oh, is she?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have expected that. Emma Stone. What is she?
For La La Land.
I haven't seen the film. I've heard it's very, very good, though.
It is very good.
Oh, okay.
And she was in loads of stuff, like Easy A and...
It would have been Angelina Jolie. Maybe I'm back on...
She hasn't done very many movies.
Oh, hasn't she?
Yeah, so she's not earned that much this year.
Ooh.
She's been getting divorced. It's quite hard to make a movie.
She's still not divorced yet? How long does these things take?
Oh, like a year. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, it's not so snippy snappy
anymore.
It's not
so... I thought you just say it's over and then
move. Even in Hollywood, you got to like do proceedings and...
Oh.
And you know, Emma Stone, she was in Crazy Stupid Love, that's one, and The Help.
Oh, The Help.
The Help, yeah, she's
Spider-Man.
The main girl. Ooh. And Spider-Man. So yeah, she's the highest paid actress. I think she raked in 20 million.
Wow.
But still,
if
she made 20 million and the highest paid actor made 68 million, that is a crazy pay gap between the men and the women there. Oh, hello. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Well, it's millions, I guess. They're all happy. I don't earn millions, so yeah.
So, The Walking Dead.
Never seen it.
Is yeah. Well,
not really good, am I?
I've seen a couple of episodes, but the problem with The Walking Dead is I feel like you have to really watch it with a mate or a partner, or a boyfriend, or a crew. I don't think it's one to watch on your own. So I used to watch bits and bobs with my old housemates, but then I became single and I did not want to watch it on my own. Oh. So I've never
just
had
a sound effect like
oh. Oh my god, like a sad no. I don't.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to me.
So I've got so I've kind of wanted to start, but now I'm so behind. Maybe I should because the new series is coming out and they promise to thin the herd is the word, which means people are gonna die.
Oh, I don't like when people die.
I like it.
It's not pleasant.
That's why I like Game of Thrones.
I haven't seen it. I suck.
What do you see?
I watch cartoons mostly. Shout out Cartoon Network.
Shout out Cartoon. Hashtag. So The Walking Dead. I really need to get back on that. Not back on it. I need to just start it and just stop being such a little pussy and just watch The Walking Dead. Netflix are making some documentary. Well, I love a good documentary.
Of course.
I do love a good documentary. But Netflix have made one about Lady Gaga.
Really?
And it's called 5'2". And apparently it's about Lady Gaga's life in the last year, which is a weird one because I don't think she's really done anything.
That's what
in the
I
last
was just
year.
Gonna say.
But maybe because she hasn't been in the limelight, she's been doing other shit. And then
I see.
So maybe this documentary is about where the hell Lady Gaga's gone.
Lady Gaga's gone. Interesting. Brown's documentary came out actually, haven't it?
Oh, what's that about?
Yeah, it's just there was a story about him and Rihanna and what happened in the car on that fateful December night.
Did he do that?
Let's set the scenery, guys!
Yeah,
he did. He's just basically talking about how they were young and it's dangerous to get fame at that level and that everyone was watching them. What actually happened in the car?
What actually did happen in the car with Chris and Rihanna? Was he honest? Yeah, he was. I beat her up.
He basically, Rihanna thought that he was cheating on her with someone who turned up to the thing. He said, check my phone, but he didn't read the whole text. So it said, oh yeah, I'm coming tonight. So she thought he was cheating on her. She hit him, he hit back. They were in the Lamborghini driving, so they're fighting in the little compartment of a Lamborghini. But he was honest and he said he hates himself for it because that's not him. But because of the fact that they had, he wasn't making excuses, but because of the fact that they had young fame, it was just dangerous. And it was just, it all got to them.
I think fame, it's a weird, especially because so many people now are being, because media is bigger and the internet and everything like that, because it used to be that only famous people were just in Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
That was it was just a very small circle of actors and actresses in the Hollywood circle that really had any kind of fame, and you would just go to the cinema and you'd see these Hollywood actors and that was it.
Yeah.
Now you can get online celebrities,
everywhere.
You can get vloggers and bloggers, and you can get reality TV, everyone.
Yeah, no,
and I think there's a little bit of a kind of cycle. There needs to be more study into what the fuck happens to your brain when you are idolized. Because
that's true, actually.
I think it's super dangerous.
It's especially as a child. That's why most of the Disney Channel kids watching this, I love you guys, but,
but they
why they do
up.
Because they get watched everywhere. You can't, I'm not saying I drink, guys, but you can't go and have a quiet drink down the pub or do whatever because the media will blame you for the kids going bad. So it feels like you're responsible for thousands
of people.
Look
what happened to Miley Cyrus. She was Disney girl and she freaked out and tried to shake all the Disney off.
She literally said on tape, she said, I would never do drugs, I'm not that person.
She went too far.
That was silly, but...
She went too far there, but she's coming back.
What can you say? No, she is.
She's rebranding herself back to Disney now, so it's a bit her new album is all she's in pretty dresses and she doesn't do nudity anymore and she's gone full circle, weirdly, ironically. Oh. It's but you could have just stayed where you were and not shown your breasts to everyone. But,
shout out to Hilary Duff for keeping her childhood fame. Shout out to Hilary Duff.
What was it? Lizzie McGuire,
Colin Dillon's spouse. It was like, Cody, let's not do this because I can go all day.
Oh my god, you proper Disney geek. Oh my gosh. Right, we're going to chat a little bit more Disney. I'm going to pop to another song. I'm going to keep with the Deadpool for the moment because I'm just loving it. This is DMX and this is Back Row and Chill. Be back soon.
Yo, get it twisted. This rap shit is mine, motherfuckers. What you heard, it's what you hearing. It's what you hearing. Listen, it's what you hearing. Listen, it's what you hearing. Listen, X gon' give it to ya. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to ya. Knock, knock, open up the door, it's real. With the non-stop pop out from stainless steel. Go hard getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make a motherfucker wonder if you did it. Damn right, and I do it again. Cause yeah. I am life, so I got to win. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break who you send to me. You motherfuckers never wanna know what your life saved. Bitch, and that's on a life day. I'm getting down, down. Like a nigga said, freeze. I won't be the one ending up on his knees, bitch, please. But the only thing you can't steal was came out to play. Stay out my way, motherfucker. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. He ain't never gave nothing to me. But every time I turn around, cats got their hands out, wanting something from it. I ain't got it, so you can't get it. Let's leave it at that, cause I ain't with it. Hit it with full strength. I'm a jail nigga, so I face the world like a girl in the bullpen. You against me, me against you. Whatever, whenever, nigga, fuck you gon' do. I'm a wolf in sheep clothing. Only nigga that you know who can chill. Come back and get the streets open. I've been doing this for 19 years. Niggas wanna fight me, fight these tears. I put in work and it's all for the kids. But these cats done forgot what work is. They don't know who we be looking. But they don't know who they see, nigga. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. Ayo, where my niggas at? I know I got them down in the greens. Give them love and they give it back. Drunk too much for too long. Don't give up, you're too strong. Love to the wild, wild hunters. Shout out to niggas that done it. And it ain't even about the dough. It's about getting down for what you stand for, yo. For real. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya.
Come on. Come on. Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
This is Back Row and Chill with Johanna James, and today...
Your boy, King K. Come on, come on, come on.
King K.
Yes.
And, oh, hold on. I'm trying to get a little thing up here, because talking to documentaries, which we were last speaking of, I saw this article last night called 10 of the Creepiest Documentaries the Internet Has to Offer. And I do love a good documentary.
Same.
I do love it. And, like, yeah, so... the first one is called Zoo. It's definitely not one for the young eyes or the delicate soul.
Okay.
Zoo explores the life and death of Kenneth Pinion, who died from peritonitis after having receptive anal sex with a horse.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It's filled with all kinds of crazy details and accounts from those close to him, and the documentary will really shock
you. It's already shocked me.
Uh-huh. You can watch it on YouTube. It's called Zoo. So that's a pretty, you know, so if you ever want to... Yeah,
looking
no.
to that.
Okay. There's another one called Child of Rage, which is a short documentary made up of the real therapy tapes of a young girl who was abused so thoroughly that she failed to develop a conscience. So she showed psychopathic tendencies at a really young age, and she shows zero remorse for hurting her brother or her adoptive parents. And they had to lock her in her bedroom at night so she didn't try to stab them when she was asleep. When they
oh
were asleep.
Oh my God.
So
this is dark.
Yeah, seeing the way that a girl can talk about acts of violence with no remorse or emotion, it sends shivers down your spine. Again, you can watch it on YouTube. As on Netflix, there's Jesus Camp. It's about evangelical Christianity and its effect on young children, focusing in particular on a summer camp. And yeah, so that's going to be
Wow.
An eye opener. Deep. They're not all, I mean, to be fair, they're not all, but I used to go to Jesus camp.
Oh, did you? Well, well, you turned out okay.
When I was kidding, I don't know.
Relatively, you don't know her personally, guys. No,
Strange Love, Married to the Eiffel Tower.
What? You what can, do you mean?
Well, there is a woman who is, but it's actually a genuine thing. There are so many people in the world who fall in love with inanimate objects. So they are genuine. There's one woman who fell in love with the Berlin Wall and got married to it.
But
and like has sex with it and stuff.
Doesn't have to be consensual. Doesn't marriage have to be consensual? Don't they? That wouldn't the wall
you
have
think,
to say
right?
yes?
But this person fell in love with the Eiffel Tower and got married to the Eiffel Tower.
Unless the Eiffel Tower said yes, it's not a real marriage. It's not consensual.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? It's a bit weird.
Just a bit.
But you definitely can watch it on YouTube. There is a woman who, I mean, if you were gonna get married to an inanimate object,
a Lamborghini. Oh, a Bugatti. Didn't even have to think about it.
It would be a Lambo, yeah.
What about you?
What would I be in love with?
Beyonce's house.
I'm trying to have a little like look around. There's nothing around me that I can see that I want to be in love with.
Anything that Beyonce owns, I'd marry. Because that would mean I get to meet Beyonce. I'm a Beyonce fan, guys.
Beyonce's
I'm in the beehive.
Cup. And her mugs. And then anything. Your lips would be on the same thing as hers was.
Oh,
so you would be by
association.
Proxy kissing Beyonce.
Sorry, Jay-Z. I apologise.
Yeah. Well, I was like... to Jay-Z. I was like, imagine if you're like, oh, this is Jay-Z's mug. Oh, shit.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. Oh, well. Well, I'll kiss either of them. Not even fussy. Either of them will do. Well, I'd prefer Beyonce. Yeah.
You know, like, just...
Faux show. So this one is called The Cannibal That Walked Free.
Okay.
I mean, these really are the most crazy, creepy documentaries on the internet. It is about a man who confessed to killing and eating a young girl in Paris. But horrifyingly, police were unable to keep him in custody because he had not committed the atrocity in his homeland. So he faced no consequences and he roams free and he admits he still craves human meat to this day. It's a documentary about him. So if these are going to give you nightmares, sure, and you can watch that one on Daily Motion or any of these guys. It's on thehookmag.com. I just typed in 10 creepiest documentaries on the internet. And it's a little bit of fun, you know, because it's only 2 months to Halloween, I think.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, because we've got, what's the temperature? Yeah, 2 months to Halloween this weekend.
What are you doing for Halloween?
I don't know, but I think this year we've got to go big.
Yes.
Because every year I just kind of like I'm busy or I'm working or I cop out. And like last year, I remember we missed it because we're filming a comedy sketch. So this year I'm like, no, I'm going to make a costume and I'm going to do it. I think I already know what I want to be.
What do you want to be? Is it a surprise?
No, I've been talking about it for a while. I'm pretty sure I want to go as a couple's costume.
Okay.
With my boyfriend. I want to go as Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King.
Lovely.
I'll be Timon and he'll be Pumbaa.
Okay.
He's very upset that he's Pumbaa. I was like, what? You fought and you're a bit bigger than me.
That is the truth.
That is the truth of it. So I think I like costumes where you have to like think, like, right.
Yeah.
How am I, you know, when you're like, right, I want to go as Bumblebee from Transformers. Okay, how the fuck do I do that?
People got like Instagram photos and stuff. It's very inventive.
Oh, the ones that, yeah, you're like,
yeah.
So start stocking up on all your art attack stuff now.
Art Attack, I remember that show.
Yeah, do you remember?
I never made anything from it, but
I did.
Did you?
I did.
I can imagine little Johanna just...
Yeah, like, Mum, can I have 3 egg boxes and a carton of milk and loo rolls and PVA glue?
Bloody
and
Art Attack.
You just paper mache the shit out of everything on that show.
It's a wicked show. Shout out Art Attack.
Shout out Art Attack. You see, do you remember there was a rumour going around that he died? The guy.
I heard that. Is it true?
No, it wasn't true. He keeps tweeting going, guys, I am alive.
Is that what he does?
Imagine if there was like a rumour going around that you died and you have to just keep going, no.
That would be, I guess I'd be happy because people care. So that's a positive.
Oh, actually, that was one of the last documentaries
what?
That... the creepy documentaries about a woman who died and she was found 3 years later on her sofa because the only reason nobody noticed she was missing, nobody noticed for 3 years, and she was a young woman in her 30s, not like an old lady.
Yeah.
They only noticed when all the bills weren't paid for 3 years and her house was going to be repossessed.
Seriously?
And the documentary is sort of like how long would people notice if you disappeared?
I reckon mine would be in a day, definitely.
Within a day.
I'm living to my own, but definitely. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I think within a day, but I do remember there was a time when I was living alone and I was single and I thought I was coming home really late one night and I thought, crap, if I just disappeared and got dragged into a van right now, these are the thoughts that you have, like, 3 in the morning.
Of course, as you do.
I was like, it would... Po- possibly be like 3 or 4 days before somebody would notice, because I don't live with anyone.
That's so true.
So actually, I've got no one to like check in with, and you know you can text a mate and they won't get back for like 2-3 days, yeah, and you're not that concerned. So I was like, shit, maybe I need to have like a buddy system with someone, so
people
that I can just I can just like
that,
you know, text them and be like, good,
I'm safe today. I've checked in.
I'm alive. I'm like, how sad is that? I need to have a live buddy. Oh, I'm so single. But
not anymore.
I don't know. How long? Get involved, guys. If you think, what is the longest time you could possibly go for missing before people would
that's
notice?
A very Taken style.
Taken
Shout
style.
Taken,
yeah.
Hashtag.
So tweet us at FUBAR Radio, or email chill@fubarradio.com. We want to hear from you. We will shout you out. Or what is the creepiest documentary? If you've got any good creepy documentary stories, let us know.
Have you seen The Human Centipede?
No.
Okay.
I don't particularly
Moving
like,
on.
I don't like horror films. But I do enjoy a good mystery.
I see. That's not quite a mystery. It's something different.
No, I mean, I've heard all about that one, if you know what I mean. Okie dokie, I'm going to continue with my Deadpool soundtrack songs.
Yay.
This is Calendar Girl. This is the part in the movie where they did the sex montage. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Of course I remember that.
Apparently, they shot that entire sex montage in one day.
Seriously?
They just were like, you know what, this is going to be awkward as shit, so let's just bash it out now. And they just shot all the sex stuff in one day and was like, boom. So
commitment.
Yeah, that's commitment from those actors. We will be right back with more entertainment news, and coming up nearly to our first guest of the show. Stay tuned, it's Backer and Jill.
I love my calendar girl.
Continuing with our entertainment news.
I have to ask before we continue. You know, is that a sex sound before it goes? I heard,
FUBAR, uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
Possibly. Well, this show is called Back Row and Chill.
I see the reference now.
So, you know, I had to explain that one to my mum. She didn't quite get it. She's like, that's a lovely name. I was like,
yes, mother.
Chill means sex, mum. She's like, oh.
I take that back.
But originally, Noel wanted to call the show Fingered in the Back Row.
Oh.
So I think
massive veer to the left.
I was like, maybe Matt Rowan Chill might be a little bit more classy, maybe. But yeah, love Noel. He's like his dirty little old man, him. But right, so Netflix have cancelled the show Sense 8. Actually, this is weird that we started on that because this is a little unusual.
I see, yeah, I've read this.
So Netflix have cancelled the show Sense 8 after two seasons. But apparently, a porn site called X Hamster has offered to buy the series and will put all of their budget towards making Sense 8 and having it hosting it on their site. And that's a very weird move. I don't think a porn site has ever successfully bought a TV series before and hosted it. But they were saying, like, people were laughing at the concept of Netflix a few years ago and being like, what, like a streaming downloading service? What? No one's ever going to do that.
The difference being that my 15-year-old cousin watches Sense 8 and I wouldn't be quite comfortable with her going over to X Hamster.
Yeah.
Because the advertisements on it, I mean, I don't know that because I've never been on X
Hamster. So I genuinely haven't heard of X Hamster before. I thought it was some sort of extreme hamster website.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah, guys.
For my crazy pets on my hamster wheel, the extra extra large hamster. But yes, I don't know whether they're going to go for that.
That's you never know nowadays. Everything's just.
Imagine if everything's just hosted on a porn site in the future. Can you imagine? It's like, here, kids, Cartoon Network. Actually, that's a funny story. I'm just going to put this in there. I used to nanny a while back, and I used to look after these two little babies. Mm-hmm. And part of my job, this is going to link to porn, I promise you.
Okay, not quite that sure. Way, babies
but
in
I've
porn.
Got to get to the end of the story now. Like, what?
Yeah,
anyway,
quickly.
Part of my job was to pop them down in front of the TV while they had their lunch. And they always had CBeebies. And one day, I was putting them down, and the mum went from home, and so she left the room, and I put the TV on, and the TV just came on to the
don't
last
tell me
thing.
I think it was
like Babe Station, and I was there like trying to like cover these kids' eyes and change the channel, and literally I changed it like a second before the mum walked back in the room again, and I was like, I didn't want to, it was awkward, I didn't want to tell her and be like, oh, obviously your husband's been watching late night Babe Station. That was just like the funniest 30 seconds of my week.
How old are they?
Well, the kids, like 1 and 3.
Okay, so I guess it's not. Right.
I mean, they were so young, they probably wouldn't have necessarily registered stuff. But still, that was a panic and a half, I will tell you. So guys and girls, just make sure you've got parental filters and stuff on your TV.
Switch back, guys.
Or just, you know, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just switch back.
Switch back to the BBC. To the BBC, you know what I mean? It's going to be fine. So the Edinburgh Fringe. You got a little piece of paper over there.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, because the Edinburgh Fringe, every year they collect the funniest jokes and they get people to vote for the funniest joke. I thought we would run through a couple of the funniest jokes from
the
Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll do one, then you can do one.
Okay.
And we'll maybe we'll keep coming back to it over the show. So the first joke by Frankie Boyle was, Trump's nothing like Hitler. There's no way he could write a book. true dat. Okay, go for it.
Okay. I wonder how many chameleons snuck onto the ark. Wait, am I reading from that piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay, that was okay. Now I need to do it again. Okay. I wonder how many chameleons snuck onto the ark.
Ooh. That is true. That's more of like a thesis. That's like a thesis you could put in an essay.
I was a chameleon. I tell my chameleon friends and sneak on the ark.
Exactly. It'd be like, guys, crew, all
fuck
the family.
Fuck the 2x2 rule. Exactly. Team shit.
72x72, getting there. Okay. This is from Olaf Falafel. What an amazing name. I wasn't particularly close to my dad before he died, which was lucky because he trod on a landmine. That is dark, but that did make me chuckle. Well done, Olaf. Go for one.
I'm not a fan of the new pound coin, but then again, I hate all change.
Yeah, that was
smart.
That was the winning one from the Edinburgh Fringe. That was the winning joke.
Seriously?
By Ken Cheng. Not a fan of the new pound coin, but then again, I hate all change.
Well, I did say it second. I was drawn to that magnetically, so that says something about me.
I'll finish on this one, and then maybe we could get you guys to tell some of your funniest jokes. That would be really fun to read them out from you. This is by Andy Field, and it says, I like to imagine the guy who invented the umbrella was going to call it the Brella, but he hesitated. Umbrella.
Oh my god, yes.
That was good. That was good.
That's amazing.
This is smart. These people are smart.
Yeah, comedians, man. There's, you know, there's so much work that goes into comedy that people have no idea.
Shout out Kevin Hart.
Shout out Kevin Hart.
And Cat Williams. I got you, bro.
Which is, yeah. So a little bit more movie news before we nearly have time. We put my teeth
take
in.
Take a breath.
We're coming up to having our first guest on the
Yay!
Show. So a little bit more movie news. Mulan. Disney's Mulan. They are making the live action. Well, they're remaking the cartoon, so you better catch up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it tonight.
Filming is going to start next year. They've got the locations down in China, New Zealand, and Australia.
Okay.
Australia. And all the actors must be culturally authentic, which means they got to get proper Chinese actors.
I like that move, though.
Mm-hmm, I do like for sure. I think, yeah, they don't want to...
Look at the outrage after I think it was theatre. Hermione was played by a black actor.
Oh.
Everybody took to Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Slammed the thing.
Well, do you know what? That was J.K. Rowling backed that move because she said the only description of Hermione in the book was that she had frizzy brown hair. She goes, I didn't say nothing about her skin tone. So
the fact that she backed it may mean that...
She was like, everyone assumed that Hermione was white, but the only thing I ever said was that... she had frizzy brown hair.
She actually said that?
Yeah.
Oh, then there's no problem then.
So there is, Harry Potter said, I never said she was white.
Where? Maybe it's Hermanisha instead of Hermione.
Hermanisha.
Deep night thoughts.
But isn't it weird? You can kind of just...
No, definitely.
I
did it automatically. Like.
Yeah, you automatically assume, but maybe not. I'm excited for live action. There's going to be live action Mulan, live action Aladdin, live action Lion King.
Lion King, I was hoping you were going to say that.
And live action Dumbo.
That's
all next year. Disney are going hard for the...
Did you see on the Disney note they may do a High School Musical 4?
Ooh, a High School Musical 4?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, there's going to be all like 27-year-olds being like, yeah!
Telling the kids, shh, there's a movie on.
Mental. Okie dokie. I think this is possibly my last Deadpool song.
Oh no.
For the morning. This is, well.
The afternoon.
Yeah, do you know why I said morning?
I don't know.
Because the song title is called Angel of the Morning.
Oh.
And I'm quite tired. So we're going to be back after this song with our first guest of the show. This is Back Row and Chill. And this is Angel of the Morning.
Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. We've got our first guest in the studio.
Yay!
Woo! Hey. Hi. So a huge welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Emma Carroll, Edward Way.
Hello.
We can get your names on the radio then. And you are here to talk about What the Lady Bird Heard.
Yes, we are. Yes. We are so lucky. We're currently performing in an adaptation of a really famous children's book called What the Lady Bird Heard, and it's by Julia Donaldson, who wrote all the Gruffalo books.
Oh,
so she's really, really well known. And it's illustrated by Lydia Monks, and it's really, really well loved by children and families. And we've brought it to life with songs and puppets and lots of colourful bits and pieces, really. We tell the story of what happens on the farm with the ladybird.
Because it's two robbers.
Yeah, so I play one of the robbers. I play Hefty Hugh, which is possibly the most insulting name I've ever had to portray on stage.
You do it so well.
Thank you very much. And there's Lanky Len, who is my partner in crime.
Hefty Hugh and Lanky Len.
Yeah.
I feel like I've met them in the pub.
You know, you've just watched Home Alone.
Oh, yeah!
That's essentially who we are.
And they are very, very naughty, and they try indeed. And steal the fine prize cow from the farm. So luckily, the little ladybird, who I play, overhears this plan, and all of the animals get together and concoct a very elaborate plan to fool the thieves when they come to steal the cow, and they are foiled because everybody works together. And then
yay!
We sing.
Teamwork.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a musical. So you get
yep, yes. It's like a mini musical. It's on for 55 minutes, so it's just the right length for families and children. And
yeah.
Everybody plays instruments and sings. There's percussion. Wow. There's lots of joining in. So it's a really fun hour in the theatre. And we should say it's at the Lyric on Shaftesbury Avenue.
Oh, nice. Nice and central.
Yes, really nice space as well. It's really lovely. There's a bit of dance in there as well.
Are you guys dance trained?
Not at all. Not at all.
So you're just winging it.
Oh, just absolutely winging it. Seeing what happens.
No, Ed and Matt, Hefty Hugh and Lanky Len, have the biggest number in the show, which is about the thieves and how they've come to be into this situation, and it's fantastic, and it's something that the parents really enjoy as well, because it is it's quite show tune, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the hottest I've ever been on stage. I've sweat is quite literally pouring down my face.
And what's your costume like? Is it
well, they've noticed this, and they thought, oh, it's a really hot song, so we're going to make this life really easy for you. So a jumper.
Oh, nice.
And a woolly hat.
Very easy.
I see. Moist,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Oh, it's it's good.
Mate, your costume girl must be like, thank you.
So there's a lot of costumes. There's
a lot of sweaty costumes by the end of the day.
But it is really fun, and it's 55 minutes, and it's quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's full on, but it's really fun.
Have you seen a comedy about a bank robbery?
I saw it like 2 weeks ago. So it's Mischief Theatre. Those guys are absolutely fantastic. So I've seen Play That Goes Wrong, Peter Pan Goes Wrong, and Comedy Now, and it's just brilliant. I'm absolutely dying to work for them, do that sort of stuff. It's so good. It's absolutely
so good.
Brilliant.
I think they started off, and it was such a different concept, I think, because people had just done like straight plays or musicals, and it was like we're like proper slapstick comedy, like
the skill to do that is insane. They have to work so hard to keep the timing so tight and funny, and that's so well done, isn't it?
I mean, there's bits of that in ours as well, just of when something has to look so chaotic but is actually so finessed and timed. So
it would be dangerous.
Yeah.
I've seen the play that goes wrong 4 times, so I've actually seen it go wrong within the going wrong. So because I know when gags are coming up, and I know what's supposed to happen, and there's a bit where the sword was supposed to go up through the ceiling and it didn't, and like they had to just jump over it, and like they just rolled on without the joke happening, and I was like, oh, the play that went wrong just went wrong.
My favourite thing about live theatre is when things actually start to go wrong.
Yeah. We've had a few things go wrong, haven't we?
What's the worst? Tell us.
I mean, my favourite one so far is so essentially what in the show we build all of the animals out of like farmyard junk, because the animals that we need to tell the story are off in the fields. So
we don't want live animals on stage.
No.
Can you imagine?
Never work with animals. And so Emma has run over to get like a pitchfork, which is always set back of the stage. Gone to get it. Not there.
It's not there. Nobody noticed.
Oh, there we go. What's happening? I've turned over my right-hand shoulder. Perfectly timed. Emma's normally coming over here. Emma's not there. Emma's not on stage.
I looked over.
Emma's in the wings, searching through prop boxes, finding anything we can do. Like,
I need a spear. Yeah. Something that looks like a spear.
All I've got is a fork.
The reason why this pitchfork was quite important is because actually the neck of a horse, which keeps the head up. So without a neck, there was no horse.
You've just got a bathtub on a bike.
Yeah. But we managed. We found it, and nobody noticed.
No one noticed. No.
But there's, because the animals are constructed from wheelbarrows and flower pots and barrels and bits and pieces, they have to go together so intricately. So if anything is missing, we have to sort it out very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you always have like the emergency pitchfork at the back.
Yeah. We always triple check that that is set.
Yeah, we've got Will, who's our ASM, who's backstage with us, and if anything we've noticed something that's gone wrong, it's just, Will, fix this.
Yeah.
And he's on it pretty quick.
It's so tight, there's no time really. We just need to, before we know it, we're singing another song or something else is happening.
I think that's what terrifies me about theatre, but also is very exciting, is about when it can go horrifically wrong. Have you ever completely just blanked on stage?
Have you, Ed?
You've gone to sing the song and been like, who am I?
What am I doing here?
The thing is, once you've done the show, because I've done this show like a couple of hundred times now, and it gets to the point where it's just if I think about it too much, I'll start to worry that I'm getting it wrong. But there's times when you're just like,
you're autopilot.
I don't know what's going on. There are words coming out of my mouth. I think they're the right ones, but I have no idea.
They are the right ones.
Thankfully.
Just so you know. We would let you know. There's quite a lot of percussion, and we make funny noises and sing lots of things along with action that is happening. And sometimes it's happening so fast before you realise it's just over and you think, oh my goodness, that's done. Okay, next bit.
Did I do it?
Yeah.
Did I do it?
Did everything make the right noise?
I've covered a few people who have completely forgotten lines before. Not in this show. So far we've been all right. But in other shows that we've done, the hardest is in Shakespeare.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
When
course.
Someone drops a line in Shakespeare, you try and ad lib your way out of that in iambic pentameter. Like
there are a very few people that can do it though, and they're like the gods of acting.
Yeah,
so it's like,
that's a bit magical.
I got an audition for Othello. I didn't take it for that reason because you can't. Maybe I should have taken it.
Any actors that are listening to you now are raging.
It's not your boy King Care, somebody else. That's not me.
But there was a girl at my drama school. We had to do, we had sort of a Shakespeare season, and we had to prepare our monologues and perform them every Friday to all the staff and the headmaster and whatever. And I did mine. And then a girl did her, but she did it from a very obscure Shakespeare that I didn't really know. And so I was just there watching, and she did this amazing, and she was like full of energy and then at the end, I was like clapping, and the teacher was like, "What the fuck happened there?" And she was like, "I'm sorry, I just forgot everything and I just made it up." And I was like, "Really? That was brilliant." I was like,
"The most amazing improv."
Yeah, it was just amazing. She literally just forgot Shakespeare and she just went off on this one thing.
What?
And she just did this like full monologue, and it was so passionate because she was obviously petrified.
Yeah.
I was like, "Well, I thought that was brilliant. I don't even care."
Bravo.
That's fantastic.
I was like, Shakespeare?
I auditioned for Bristol Old Vic when I was doing like drama school auditions, and I did my Shakespeare piece. And then I must have messed up like one line, you know, the nerves of drama school auditions, like your stomach is just,
God, yeah.
You know, and I messed up one word, and he just went, do it again, get all the words right. I'm not going to tell you which one was wrong.
Wow.
It's the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done.
Wow. No, mate, fuck you. I've been TV more than you. So like, oh my God. Yeah, drama school.
Nerve-wracking.
Savage.
Just to anyone out there who is sort of a wannabe actor, or if you're auditioning for drama, because people have got all their results now and they're choosing,
what
they want to do. And if you are thinking of going the drama school route, like, trust us. Yeah. That is the most terrifying part of the industry. Post drama school, producers are lovely, auditions are lovely. They are desperately wanting you to be that person and have that job.
Yeah.
So I've never really experienced like dickishness like I have in drama school.
No, I mean, you're right. It's because in any audition, they're wanting you to be the most ideal person. So it's the perfect thing, really.
Yeah.
And especially so Kenny Wax and the office, the producers on this, they are just the nicest people in the world.
And they look after us so
well. We get like,
well.
At the start of a run, you just get a little hamper.
Okay, don't just talk about the gifts. Oh. They're very supportive.
I mean,
bribery. That's
the way to my heart is wine and chocolate. So
no, we are very lucky, but they are very supportive, and that's right. That side of the industry is generally amazing, and the tough bit is getting into drama school and getting the opportunities to go for those jobs. And good luck, everybody.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yes, good luck.
I mean, I think if you have the balls to do a drama school audition, then you have the balls to do anything.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Completely.
That is like one of the toughest few years of anybody's life, or I
just don't know how I did it. Even when I got in, I look back now and I'm sort of working in a show, and I mean, really, I'm doing 2 hours of work a day, and I get home at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, oh god, I'm so tired. And I think of what I was doing at drama school, and I'm like, no, how was I?
Yeah.
How was I awake?
You're not allowed to be ill. Like they don't register anybody being ill.
No,
at drama school. You're not allowed to be late.
No. You could. There's no such thing as being ill, and there's no. And even if you're literally there, like you would have to be sort of like carted out on something.
Is it that like?
Yeah, because they just baseline. Don't. Like in the industry, show must go on. Yeah, it's got to be.
That's really true, and every minute of rehearsal is so precious. They need everybody there, and so it's really good for discipline, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, really, really good. Yeah. It's quite. It's probably the closest thing to military, I guess.
Unless you're Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan can do what she wants.
That's true.
Lindsay Lohan can do what she likes.
There's always exceptions. Whatever.
So with What the Ladybird Heard, it's only on in the day then. It's not the
yes,
yeah, yes.
Because we actually share a theatre with Thriller, which is the Michael Jackson musical. So again, it's quite weird. All of our farmyard animals are around the stage, and then in the background in the wings you can see the like amazing costumes and wigs that are used for Thriller in the evening.
I want to put them on like a cow or something. Yeah, oh. And be like,
well, it's taking every ounce of willpower not to do that.
Yeah. Remix.
But because of that, it means that we get in quite early. They make the farm for us, and we do two shows. The farm gets packed away, and then the stage is set for Thriller for an evening show.
And it's such a quick turnaround. By the time that we've gone upstairs and we've like, you know, showered, peeled off sweaty costumes, and we're heading back downstairs, it's already the Thriller set on stage. Yeah. It's like, crazy. Whoa. It's really quick.
Amazing crew. Amazing.
Yeah. So how long is it going on for? People are like, yeah, I want to go see What the Ladybird.
Yeah, so we started at the beginning of July, and we're now getting quite close to the end. So yeah. We're on twice a day on Saturdays and Sundays until the 10th of September. And we've got two shows a day, Tuesday to Friday next week as well. But then the schools go back on about the 4th of September. So
we've got a nice easy week for us next week. So we've got like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off.
No, not next week, the week after.
Rework that diary then. Yeah.
Damn it!
Cancel the holiday.
Yeah, but basically we've got about 22 shows or something left. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We're really enjoying it, and we're really sad that it's going to come to an end, because it's lovely being in London, and it's lovely. We've had such brilliant audiences, and the children have been adorable. The parents have been fantastic, and there's lots of big brothers and sisters helping and joining in. So it's really nice when you see the kids that are too cool for it at the start, and by the end they're like waving their arms around. And
it's the dads that are really hungover.
Yeah,
they're my favourite ones. It's the dads on a Sunday morning, like, just with a head in a lap
and a coffee.
There's a coffee next to them,
and by the end they're dancing away as well.
Yeah, that's always good.
It's
fun
lovely.
To see.
I think you should do like one of the last performances. You should just do like a wet show and just all be drunk and just have that wine and cheese.
Don't tempt the boys.
Kenny, no.
Some extra special dance moves coming out there.
There would be some. I mean, there's some extra special dance moves from me anyway. So with a few more beers, crikey.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Absolute pleasure.
This has been fun. I play movie songs. Soundtracks, that's what we like to play every week. So we've been going through the Deadpool. So now I'm going to go over to have you ever seen any of the Netflix 13 Reasons Why?
No, I haven't. It's on the list.
Okay, yeah. It's got very good soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
This is The Night We Met, and it brings a little tear in my eye. But I just love this song, so I'm just going to get ready to get a bit mo.
drop it,
it's back row and two. Thank you. Beautiful song there from 13 Reasons
I'm crying,
Why.
Guys. Maybe it's because I just yawned, but I'm crying. Yeah. So.
Wake up, man. Wake up. It's just gone 5 o'clock. We are halfway through Back Row and Chill. And we are on to our second guest of the show. So a huge welcome. We've got Joe Idris Roberts and Phoebe Thomas.
Hello.
Hello.
A huge welcome. We're here to talk about your show.
Yeah.
Eyes Closed, Ears Covered, which is very cool. Very, very cool title.
Mm-hmm. Cool title, isn't it?
Yeah, what is that about? I'm not assuming it's not about deaf and blind people.
Wow, no. Not quite. Oh, what's it about?
It's an action from the play, which I guess is sort of personal to a few of the characters in the play.
Yeah, that's why it's called that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is about, essentially... It's about your character, isn't it? Really. But it's about three people who are going on a trip to Brighton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
It's about three people that have suffered a lot of trauma. It's quite hard hitting. Yeah. I'm lying about it. Well, I've just been listening to your interview before and it's like... and I was like, Albies is really sad.
That's why I put the 13 Reasons Why just to move into it, because that's a hard hitting show.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. It is. No, it is a hard hitting piece. It explores a boy who's been through a lot of trauma. and it explores a mother's unconditional love that she has towards a child, and there's a twist and something that we're not allowed to give away, so it makes it really hard to talk about it. But okay. For that very reason, it should be seen, because okay. it's quite shocking.
There's a twist, an Emma-like Shyamalan twist.
Yeah.
Have you seen this movie?
No, I haven't, but I'll support you anyway.
He's a famous director that just always puts like twists in, like The Village, The Sixth Sense.
I've seen The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, there you go. Then you know all about movie twists. So how did you guys get involved? Because it's going to be at the Bunker.
It is
at the Bunker.
Mm-hmm. I saw the title. I was like, what is this? Enticed. And met the lovely Alex Squither, who's written it. Mm-hmm. And Derek Anderson, who's directing it, and sort of did a bit of research about the Bunker, which I haven't actually been to. Terrible, because I know we're going to be playing there, but Joe has.
I have.
I've been out the picture for 10 months, having twin babies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah. So this is first job back, new mom. But yeah, it's at the Bunker, and I went along and auditioned and loved the piece and got the part, and I'm really excited. I've just come off, well, before having kids, I was on a very big commercial tour, and this is lovely. It's completely the opposite. It's a tiny little space. It's a really cool, like, off West End venue, and it's going to be really interesting to play to such a small audience.
Mm. Do you find it a bit worse when there's like a more intense, closer audience, because you're like, oh, there, I can see them. That man's right there looking at me.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's right there. He's falling asleep. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's all that stuff, but it's more personal in a way. As you say, I think that's kind of the challenge in it. It's kind of nice to be in a more personal setting, and you can sort of take your time with experimenting with that space. So
I love it as well. I love an understated and real performance, and I think that's what you can really explore in a space like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we've got Danny Boy, who's just left EastEnders, hasn't he? Playing, who is he playing in it? It's terrible, isn't it? I can't remember who he played. Who played? Anyway, he's just left it in. So I think also it's that lovely. It's a really nice crossover for the kind of whole TV theatre performance thing. Going into a nice little space, do you know what I mean?
And how long is it going to be on for? If people are like, okay, this is exactly my cup of tea on a Friday night, I want to go and...
It's going to be on for the whole of September.
Yeah, from the 6th till the 30th.
Yeah.
With matinees on
Wednesdays and Saturdays. And it's actually quite short. It's quite a short piece. It's like about 35 minutes each half.
Yeah.
And it's like boom, 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 boom. Really, really fast, frantic... and in your face.
And it's just three of you, three-hander.
Yeah, it's a three-hander. Yeah, it's a three-hander, which is another thing I'm really excited about, because I'm usually sort of part of big casts.
And who do you play?
I play Seb's mum in it. Oh. So Joe's mum. Yeah. Straight back in there.
Yeah. You don't playing a mum. Look old enough to play his mum.
No. Well, no. She's quite a young mum.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that. That's a really nice.
I thought you were like, oh, I'm one of the other teenagers.
Because at the moment, with the twins waking up five times a night, I feel really old. I'm really tired.
Have you got twin boys, twin girls,
twin
or one
boys?
Twin boys.
Identical boys. Yeah.
How do you tell them apart?
They look different to other people. They don't. It's really funny. Oh. I do enjoy dressing them the same. Just to confuse me.
I don't. I would think that if I did have like totally identical twins,
yeah, so I'd have thought.
I would have to just like put a stamp on one or something.
Luckily, one Sharpie of them was bigger. I said that. I was like, is it wrong to tattoo babies?
Yeah.
But then one of them came out bigger, so you know.
Oh, okay,
it was all clear. It was all clear from day one. But we digress. Twin babies. It's mental. But yeah, I play mum.
Mm-hmm.
It's really lovely exploring that relationship. It's really, like I say, it's for me. I think that for me, it probably resonated massively having just had children.
Yeah, of course, you're methoding
it's,
being
yeah,
mommy.
Totally. It's just it is about that unconditional love and that.
Yeah, it's just lovely to be on the receiving end of it as well. Like. Mm.
Oh, the way they look at each other is so cute. I can feel the love in the studio, guys. Oh.
We've just come from rehearsal, so we've been doing it all day.
Oh, serious?
So, yeah, you know, like, I guess the it's all still here, isn't it? Like,
they're doing it again! They're doing it again! I love it!
I love it! Let's get a photo. It's on video. It is. She's suffering at the hands of some in an awful relationship, and it's about how they kind of pull each other out of an awful home environment that they're in.
And is this the first run of the play? Is it a new play or is this a
brand new play?
Brand spanking new. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New and fresh.
Brand spanking new. Yeah. And Alex Gwither is not only a brilliant writer, but he's a brilliant poet. He does like stand-up poetry, you know, where just off-the-cuff amazing poetry. And I think as a result of that, the writing just it flows amazingly. It really does. It's beautifully written, and yeah, everyone's really young. Most people are younger than me in the room. I'm like senior cast member. It's brilliant. Everyone's really young and fresh. Is involved in everything that comes out of the bunker, which I think is part of why it's been so successful.
And do you find there's pressure because it's obviously you're tackling sort of serious topics about anything going wrong, or because you know if you were doing a play like sort of What the Ladybird Heard, I feel there'd be a little bit more of a window for like whoops a doodle,
whoops a doodle do, I've put the wrong costume on. Hey yeah. Yo, let's crack on. There is a lot of that, isn't there?
Yeah, it's just about you know, realizing what we're talking about and what we're doing and just concentrating on it, really.
Yeah, without a doubt, the themes are ones that you don't want to make in any way cliche or in any way
insensitive
or saying that this is matter of fact and what we're displaying is what always happens with children that are suffering a certain amount of trauma. That's not what we're saying at all. So you're right, it is quite, you do have to be very sensitive. Someone tweeted the other day, he came to the read-through, which we weren't part of, but the read-through of this, saying it's like a darker Curious Incident.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good little...
Curious Incident of the dog in the night time.
Yeah.
If it was like, what?
I haven't seen it! I'm so rubbish.
But I loved your reaction.
I was going to agree, but Johanna blew me up. I was like, yeah, I know
that. You just did it. That was a royal nod, what you just did there. It was like, yes, I understand nothing. No one... But yes. I quite like a play that can really, like, kind of, you know, kick you in the feels, actually.
Same.
Yeah. I didn't realise, because I was a bit naive to the theatre world, because coming from a bit of a poor family, we didn't really go to the theatre. You know, we barely went to the cinema. So, it wasn't until like drama school that we did this play. Ooh. It was one of the first plays that we did within the drama school.
Yeah.
And it was about paedophilia, which was, and it was the first time that I'd gone, oh, I've associated dresses with like, I mean, plays with like putting on a big dress and being like Cinderella or something.
Totally.
And I was like, whoa, this is really powerful shit.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And this is like really, really relevant. And I find it takes like a couple of minutes to get into a modern day play. But once you're in, it's more intense than TV because you are watching a real human about 10 foot from you have a breakdown or go through this thing. And you're like, you're in the room. you kind of want to go over and be like, mate, it's okay, it's all right, don't worry, give me a hug, come on.
It's something about, there's something in the air that you can create on stage that you cannot get through the TV. Well, you can to a degree, you know, if you're really involved with it, with a series like 13 Reasons Why, so if it can really hit you in the feels as well. But there's something about a live room, especially the bunker, it's going to be like an intense little...
It totally is. And also, it's so interesting what you say about not being able to afford to go to the theatre, which is so true for so many people. And the wicked thing about spaces like the bunker is that it's not huge West End prices, and it is more obtainable for everyone to come along and watch some theatre, because it's true, it's freaking extortionate.
Yeah, there's
you know, it's true. You want to go to the West End and sit in the stalls, you're looking at a couple of hundred quid, and you know, so many people can't afford that.
There's £10 tickets available for each performance for under 25s, £15 concessions.
Get down.
That's coming on like cinema prices, really, isn't it? Now?
Yeah, it does, because I went to cinema the other day and it was like...
It's a joke.
It was three of us went and we got popcorn. And it was 60 quid for three of us.
Totally. I was about to say, once you got your popcorn.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh.
£60.
£60. I was like, this isn't a West End show. This is like fucking,
Say what?
I'm just going to go watch my Netflix.
I don't need this.
But no. And what did you guys do before?
What did we do before? Well, Joe.
Before when?
Before this.
Before life. No.
Before life began.
How far are we going back?
What were you in a previous life? No. Yeah. Before you got. Did you guys meet on this project, or do you know each other?
We met on this project. Yeah. You're quite fresh out of.
Yeah, I graduated.
Rada, darling.
Yeah.
Rada. Oh, we've got a Rada in here.
A Radian.
We've got a Radian. I've heard of your time.
Yes.
congrats, mate.
Yeah. So. Graduated there 2015. I've done a few things at the Orange Tree and in Chichester, and so they called me up for this in Chichester, so I got on the train back here and thought, I'll give it a go, and behold, here I am today.
Here he is.
So yeah, it's going well at the moment.
You're a fresh little rabbit in this, and what were you doing before you had your
babies? Do you know, before I had my babies, I started really young in this old industry. I was like child actor.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Disney star.
Not as stages I'm making out. What was I doing? I had just come off a big old tour of Hetty Feather, which was a Jacqueline Wilson novel that was brought to stage.
The kids were all over. My little sister loved Hetty Feather.
So we did that. And it was one of those projects that kind of started. It was Kenny Wax, actually, and people that you were talking about before. You know, Play That Goes Wrong, producers, etc. And we sort of started that off, and then it got a little West End transfer, and then it went off on a big old 10-month tour, and it was really cool, really brilliant, fun part to play. I was like doing trapeze. I learned trapeze and aerial. And
were you playing Hetty Feather?
Wow. It was wicked. And actually, I'm doing it again over Christmas. I feel like I'm going to be playing Hetty till I'm about 55. But before that, lots of TV. Yeah, just I was in Holby for 4 years.
Oh,
that's
very interesting. It's very interesting.
I'm loving the theatre vibe at the moment. I'm loving it.
Always wanted to be in like Casualty or Holby. Yeah, I know it's a bit morbid, but I really, because that show was actually so anxiety building, because you knew when it started there was going to be an accident. Something's going to happen.
There's going to be blood.
Yeah, you're just watching the first 5 minutes like, someone's going to say tachycardic at some point. Yeah, it's going to happen. There's so many potential dangerous things. And one you don't even see coming. Once there was like a girl like roller skating and she fell and got her head impaled on a fence.
Bloody hell.
And it was the episode of like getting her off the fence and stuff. And I was like, didn't see that one coming. From an acting point of view, I always wanted to be like, you know, in a, you know, 10-car pile-up and be really dramatic. And,
here's a question. What do you prefer, TV or theatre?
Oh, it's always a good
one, that question.
that old classic. It's always the same response, isn't it, I suppose, from a lot of people, because they're so different. I love them both for different reasons.
It's a cheap answer.
I know, it's a crap answer. I love becoming part of a company with theatre.
Yeah.
I love that. I do. I suppose that's what's lovely about that's the similarity with being a regular on something, is that you become a part of a company that's working together quite intensely for a long period of time, rather than darting in and out and filming things for a month and then kind of just getting to know people and then going, see ya. I love the craft of both. I love that they're so different, and they are two really, really different crafts. And I like sort of trying to nail both, really. I mean, you can't beat the live response and having to sort of change your performance nightly.
based on how the audience are reacting, but also I love going in filming 12 scenes and never having to remember the lines again and going, you know. It's sort of, there's just different pros and cons to all of it, really.
How do you deal with nerves,
Joe?
Just know what you're doing, I guess, is sort of have confidence in what you're doing, actually, in the play and in anything really, as long as you've got one sort of goal that you need to achieve and you head straight towards that goal, then I think it all sort of works out for itself.
Yeah. I do gin.
I was about to say, is it wrong to say gin?
No.
The answer is no, it's not wrong.
Never wrong.
They're a shocker, aren't they? They can really take hold.
And sometimes I remember once, like, I was feeling so chilled about performance, like totally. And then you get out and then suddenly it's like, your body starts to go. Yeah. And sometimes nerves can physically make you do really weird things. Or like my eye used to twitch, I remember.
Oh, that's an absolute classic, isn't it? Or the old smiling and the mouth going like that.
It's like when I was first ever doing stuff on camera or whatever, and you're trying to be act normal, and your eye's just fucking twitching like that, and you're like, ah! And you're like, calm down.
I think it's that, though. I think it's getting rid of that like inner monologue, that little gremlin on your shoulder, isn't it?
So true.
I heard a podcast recently. It was all about, really interesting, about sort of psychology and about the psychology of thoughts and how you can kind of split into two and you can have parallel things running at the same time. And as an example, it was like, actually, if you're a performer and you're performing on stage, you can be saying something and at the same time be out of yourself, looking at yourself going, well, you fucked that up, didn't you?
Yeah, oh my God. That is the worst.
Wasn't good as yesterday, was it? And you're like literally there going like, go away. And you literally, at that moment, you have two consciousnesses almost.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I can't remember. I have to find another name.
I've had that so many times when you're like, why did you do that? You stepped in the wrong place. You've now done, you know, and then you really have to.
It's like it's a little like director self, doesn't you? You're just like, piss off.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's really hard. Nerves are a tough one. I think you've just got to trust that what you've done in rehearsals is, if you trust your director, I think that's a big one, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
The best thing that I learned, because I always used to mess up all my performances at like drama school, I'd always mess up, I'd miss a line, I'd do something wrong and I'd be like, oh God, I'm never going to be able to do this, I just can't. And then it was like, you know what, I had to tell myself, you are going to get it wrong, but you are going to save it, or you are going to you are going to handle it. So then I stopped being nervous about stuff going wrong and started being more confident in about how at the last minute I can improv, I can do something. There are many options that you can do.
There's always something joyous about stuff going wrong as well, especially in like, you know, to try and improv back into what we rehearsed or whatever. There's something quite joyful about that
and
arriving.
You can always laugh at it. That's one of the biggest crafts, coming out of TV to theatre, you get really used to just saying cut when
that's
it's gone wrong.
You
get really used to just being able to go, oh, I bollocked it up, can we go again? And you just have to remember that you can't do that.
There is no camera.
You can't do that on stage. Sorry, guys.
Can we just go back a line?
Let me take five. Be right back, guys.
I used to do Amjam, and it was perfectly acceptable in Amjam when I was like a teenager to go, line, and you could suddenly be a stagehand telling you a line. And then when I went to do my first sort of professional thing, I was like, I can't say line. Oh my God.
What do I do?
I was like, I'm going to write it on my hand. Line. Guys, it has been absolutely fantastic coming
you
on. So just to recoup, the show is called Eyes Closed, Ears Covered, which is, that's, you know, I love that. That's really interesting title. And it is going to be on at the Bunker at Sexy Southwark Street in London all of September. Go and check it out on the Bunker's website if you want to go and get punched in the feels.
Absolutely.
After you have your dinner.
Yeah, totally. Have your dinner, come and get really, really emotional. And then go home and have a gin
Amazing. Well, all the best of luck for the show. Break a leg and
thanks
have a really
much.
Good week. Oh, it's bank holiday
Thank
weekend.
Yay!
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Bank holiday, yay. That was a really bad advert. I was in once.
Moving on swiftly.
Okie dokie. We'll be back with more guests. And Lucy Patterson's coming in to do film reviews at 5:30. This is Back Row and Chill.
Fubar Radio presents Access
All Areas. Anyone who's watched RuPaul's Drag Race this year will know about Peppermint, and we have her on the phone right now. Hello, Peppermint.
Hello.
How are you?
Peppermint. As the only transgender queen so far to make it to the top four, what are your thoughts on your President Trump with his comments on the military and transgender?
I'm so upset. I mean, I think Donald Trump is an ass. I think someone should disable his account. I wake up and I'm ill from the news of him and his buffoonery every single day.
Every Thursday. Access All Areas. From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Hold on, hold up to me, 'cause I'm a little unsteady, little unsteady. Hold, hold on, hold up to me, 'cause I'm a little unsteady.
Song there.
I love it.
We're coming into land. It's nearly 5:30. It's Back Row and Chill, and we are on our last guest of the show. So a huge welcome to Emmanuel Anyamosigwe. Did I say it right? No.
You did.
Hey! Yeah!
We love Nigerian people happy with that.
Amazing. And we are here to chit chat about the British Urban Film Festival. Well, the BT, British Urban Film Festival.
Indeed.
Which, personally, I hadn't heard of. I didn't know there was a British Urban Film Festival. So that's really cool that is happening. And you are the founder.
I am.
The man.
Of that. So how did you get that together? Because it must be quite hard putting together a festival.
Well, firstly, I have to forgive you both because you've not heard about Buff. So it's quite weird because everyone's talking about it, quite literally.
We're just out of the loop, Cam.
You're just out of the loop.
I know,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is not cool.
Sure. Like I said, you're forgiven.
Okay.
So this is the 12th year of the British Urban Film Festival.
Okay.
So we started out in the summer of 2005, launching at another tower, which is the, I call it the Zebra Tower, the OWT ITV Studios. So that's where we actually launched BAFF 12 years ago. And here we are 12 years later in another tower at the BT Tower.
But I like that BAFF. British Urban Film Festival BAFF.
It is.
And you have the BAFF Awards, don't you?
We do indeed.
Can you imagine winning a BAFF? Yeah, I got BAFF Awards.
I got it.
I'm BAFF.
It's quite literally that. Yeah, people actually,
that's wicked.
It's a status symbol, yes.
So where is it held now? If people are like, oh, like, I want to go down.
I want a BAFF.
Yeah, like,
well, as
film?
I said, BAFF is about being extraordinary. So obviously people that are familiar with the film business, the film industry, mm-hmm. you would normally go to a cinema to watch a film. But the way the industry is evolving right now, people are on their Netflix, they're on their Amazon,
for sure.
whatever. So with a film festival, my thinking was, how do we stand out in such a saturated, crowded market where everyone's pretty much doing the same thing and trying to get people's attention? So we said, well, let's do it in a tower. Quite literally. So at the beginning of the year, I had this premonition that in the future, that BAFF or films that I would want to be part of would be shown in a tower. And literally months later, through various meetings and circumstances, here we are in the BT Tower, which is not normally open to the public. So it's not like a cinema where you can just rock up and say, I want to buy a ticket. You literally have to book in advance. But once you're in there, it is an amazing experience. People of a certain age will be familiar with the tower back in the 60s when it had a revolving restaurant on the 34th floor.
Yeah, well, not that I remember it, but I remember hearing that the BT Tower had a revolving restaurant.
What?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Why did they stop that? Do you know why?
Apparently, there was, well, if you know the history of BT Tower, there was a terrorist attack many years ago, which is why they shut it down to the public.
Wow.
But obviously, time has passed and there's security measures in place.
Yeah, they should reopen that.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked for it to be reopened. It's just had its 50th anniversary, so there was some events. I know that Children in Need do annual events there and various other organisations. But as a film festival, we are the first UK film festival to have such an event in that building, so we're very excited.
And it's going to be soon. It's from the 6th to the 12th of September.
Yes, 11 days, literally.
Amazing. So that's super, super soon. And so you can go down, you have to buy a ticket and you get access to the BT Tower, and then can you see all of the films or just a couple of the films or specific days?
Well, the festival runs for the whole week, so we kick off on Wednesday the 6th and we run through to Tuesday the 12th. So on the opening night, we have Free Indeed, which is a gritty film from the States, starring David Harewood, who is familiar to UK fans from his work in Supergirl, Baby Father, Homeland. The list is endless. There's so many other things that he's done. But he'll be joining us in London for the night.
Yeah.
We also have our BAFF Awards, which you mentioned earlier. That'll be on Sunday the 10th. And we'll be honouring Ashley Waters with an award for 25 years in the business.
Hey.
So Ashley Waters, I was going to mention him today because him and Noel Clark, who obviously set up Rack, Crow and Chill, they have just announced, well, I've known for quite a while, but I wasn't allowed to say. But
you're not the only one, actually.
Yeah, they've got a brand new TV show on Sky called Bulletproof, which is kind of like a bad boys cop show.
What?
Noel and Ashley Waters. So yeah, it's been announced on social media today, so I can for sure talk about it. But
It's about time, because there's been a lot of talk about why hasn't there been a show like that done. So for it to happen with those two is,
and they wrote it. Ashley and Noel wrote it.
That's wicked.
And they got Sky involved, and it's all, I think it's going to be super, super successful. So all best of luck to those two boys. Love them.
Definitely.
So have you got any favourite films that you personally would like to shout out for the festival or anything?
Well, we're showing 40 films. So
yeah.
Have you got time now?
Do you have a
So Free Indeed, like I said, the opening night, that is not for the faint of heart.
Okay.
So if you like your films a bit touchy, that's the film for you on the opening night. We're showing the 13th documentary directed by Ava DuVernay. So those that have not watched it on Netflix, it's sold out, by the way, so you can't get a ticket for that one. So that's a film that if you have got Netflix or you've not heard of it, I would urge you to watch that film.
The 13th.
Again. It's called 13th. Again, not for the faint of heart. So that's kind of the theme of our films.
Okay,
really.
It's a nice gritty film, which is what I love. I think that's where, Hollywood has its, that's Hollywood. But I think the British film industry, we know how to make a really good, gritty, independent movie.
I agree completely.
I think as a nation of creators and writers, we have those minds where the writers, and they're the most important people for me in the business. They take us to that destination in your heads, and yeah, they do it very well here. So in terms of other films we've got, I'll throw in Blue Hollywood, which is about British actors trying to make it big in LA. I won't go into too much detail, but it's not what you expect, but it's again one of those films where you think, okay. So that's the closing night film on the 12th.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I remember this year, earlier in the year, I got to interview the guys from Moonlight before they won the Oscars.
Oh.
It was like the week before, which was really amazing because it was talking about how amazing it was that a film like that even was coming to the Oscars and stuff, and all the boundaries that it was breaking down. And then it was like the next week they won, and I was like, oh, I think it was because of me.
Now it's about my own home, but
incredible film, by the way.
Yeah, amazing film. I watched it with my parents though, which they were all good. Like, Mum, I've got this DVD that I'm going to watch. I've got to review it. I've got to interview the guys. And then I was like,
without spoiling it, were you happy with the ending?
Well, I think it's just because I'm one of those people that I always like to know more about. If I get really involved with a character, I want an explained out ending. I want to see 20 years down the line, 40 years up.
One of those things in documentaries of black skin and white writing. So and so lived successfully after.
Exactly. Like, you know, they went on to do this, and I'm like, okay, I can detach myself from them. So I felt that the ending was a bit abrupt, actually, because the rest of the film was really paced, and then it was the ending was.
I agree. Yeah.
I'm like, right then. But yeah, I thought the acting was, you know, amazing, and the directing was amazing, and indeed, the colour palette was gorgeous. And
yes, it was. And the child actors.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I think children actors, I love them, but at the same time I get really annoyed at them because I'm technically a trained actor, and when the child comes out and just does this amazing performance out of like nowhere, and you're just like, well, that was like 3 years of training that you just smashed. What?
Out the drain.
Well, yeah. If you're not doing anything on the 6th of September, I would urge you to come and watch Free Indeed, because there's a child actor in that whose performance is absolutely incredible.
And it's just like the girl, there's a little girl who was in The Girl with All the Gifts recently with Glenn Close and Gemma Arterton, and she just blew everyone out of the water.
Right.
She held the movie together. She was the main little girl in that was a British independent movie.
Oh.
The little girl, they just plucked her out. They auditioned like 500 girls, and I think she was the last one.
Oh, go on, those stories.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
I love those all the time. And there's going to be some Q&As as well.
Yes.
At the Buff Festival. So that's really cool. So guys, just if you've just joined us now, we're just chatting about the British Urban Film Festival. We're going to be at the BT Tower, exclusive access.
Get down there.
6th to the 12th of September.
34th floor.
The 34th floor.
Yeah, so not only do you get to watch these great films, you get those views, so you can imagine selfies is going to go absolutely
think of the selfies, people. This is amazing.
Well, it's a bit high.
Emmanuel, thank you so much. We're out of time, but if you guys want to go down there, is there a website people can go to?
There
Twitter?
Is indeed. It's britishurbanfilmfestival.co.uk. There are tickets available. Free Indeed tickets are going very quickly. I would urge you to book those this weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you now.
Looking at me.
So all on the website, britishurbanfilmfestival.co.uk. Twitter is Buff Enterprises. Instagram is Buff Enterprises. And my Twitter handle is too long for this interview.
Too long, I'm out. Amazing. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you so much for coming in. That's well, really interesting. I've learned today. I've learned.
Yeah. So have I.
Stay tuned for the end of the show. We've got Lucy Patterson, and she is going to be bringing all the film reviews of the week, what you guys should be watching and what you should be checking out because it's shit. It's coming up right next. Background chill.
Makes me freeze, but I can't stay still. Those eyes keep me up longer than any other pill. And I know being together, we feel like forever. But now, more than ever, I feel everything.
Feeling everything.
You make me feel so crazy, I've never felt so sane. Beaten up by love, but the feeling still remains. You should know if you want it.
It's yours,
so come and get it. Right now, more than ever, I feel everything.
I'm feeling everything.
All I got,
I'm yours.
I'll give it to you.
Be mine.
You're in my brain.
I'm yours.
My heart too.
Be mine.
Because I am
I'm
yours.
You. I'm yours.
If you want me to,
want you. Be mine.
Tell me you want me to.
I'm yours.
Cause I'll give it all to you.
calling. Come catch me, I'm falling. My heart is calling. You can't stop me roaring. I'm soaring, I'm sky high. I'm scared that I'm falling. I'm blinded, I'm falling. My love is calling. You can't stop me roaring. I'm soaring, come jump with me and fly.
That was Cara Delevingne from the Valerian soundtrack.
It was not, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was her. She's just
that
done
doesn't
everything.
Make the film any better.
I know, but
still a pile of shit.
It is a huge welcome to Lucy Patterson.
Hello. Yeah, boy.
I'm going to be doing her last film review of the year. Because she's swanning off around the world.
I am swanning off around the world.
Which is that's an amazing excuse.
I know, I can't wait.
Go do it. Go watch movies in the other side of the world. Yes. See if it's any
which
different.
Which is probably what I will do.
And we are going to be doing our usual film review time.
Yay.
The time where we review films.
Okay. Yeah. Subject and true name, I see.
I think that was the wrong sound.
I was wondering
there.
What that was. But, you know.
That's all right. Not to worry. So what has everybody been watching and seeing and everything?
Well, this week I had the good fortune of going to see an early screening of American Maid.
Oh, that's
which is
Tom Cruise's
new film. Now, I don't like Tom Cruise. He gets on my nerves.
Okay.
And I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to go and see this because I like the story behind it. I'll give you a little quick synopsis. He plays a TWA pilot, so he's just a normal airline pilot. And he, through these ridiculous series of events, gets involved in running guns for the CIA. He gets involved with running drugs for the Medellin cartel, as in Pablo Escobar, Colombia, and all that stuff.
Wow.
I can't really tell you how he gets involved in this, because it's all so ridiculous, but it's also a true story. This person he plays is real. He plays a man called Barry Seal. Again, can't tell you anything about him because it'll just ruin the whole film.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous, but it's absolutely amazing. I really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
What's it called again?
American Maid,
American
it's called.
American Maid.
I think it was filmed a couple of years ago, and there's been some controversy around it.
Okay.
A couple of crew members died in a plane crash. You know, it's been a really marred production, you know.
Yeah.
But the film that's come out at the end of it is absolutely worth it. There's going to be, and I'm shocked that I haven't seen already, but there's going to be comparisons to Blow. Do you remember the film with Johnny Depp?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, in my eyes, is absolutely perfect. It's the only drug smuggling film in that sort of era that you really need to see.
Cool.
But.
Oh, but. Big but.
But.
The more I'm thinking about it, and the more I'm thinking about all the extra things that happened to Barry Seal, I was thinking to myself, okay, well, I need to go and research this. And they blatantly took the piss badly. They took liberties with the truth. Badly. You know,
really?
A lot of... Yeah. The sort of outside story of it, he is a real person. Yes, he did smuggle drugs. Yes, he sort of was involved with the CIA. But what the writer did was absolutely amazing. He just took this little grain of a story and just went absolutely mad with it.
So it's loosely based.
It's like a massive smack in the face, and it's you totally just want to take it. You're like, go, oh, do it again. It's just 100 miles an hour from the get-go, and it's amazing. Go and see it and get excited. It's really, really Yay, good. Cool. Really good.
Cam, have you been seeing anything?
I had the pleasure of going to the Logan Lucky premiere. Yeah, I mean, Tom Taylor's my boy since Step Up. I mean, so I love him. Yeah. But Logan Lucky didn't sell it for me.
No.
I don't know. I felt that... Wait, hold on a minute. It's out now in the cinema.
Yeah, it's out now.
All good. I thought that it was a good attempt, but from such an all-star cast, I don't know. I just felt a bit let down by the film.
Yeah, I thought that it was going to be, when I looked at the trailer, it was really well edited.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still very excited about it.
I thought it was going to be a proper bromance like, between Adam Driver and Channing Tatum, but they played brothers. I thought it was going to be a comedy, especially because we're used to Channing Tatum doing like 22 Jump Street, 23 Jump. And I've got to say, I thought it was going to be a bit like Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum doing like a bank robbery with the Deep South, and it wasn't really any of that.
Oh, no. See, in my head, that's still what it is because I haven't seen it yet. Oh no,
it's quite a paced. When I say paced, it's quite a slow. It's like, you know, like it's the same guys that made Magic Mike. So you know, like the art house kind of style. Except Magic Mike was really pacey because they kept being naked men every few minutes. Well, and so you were like, but this hasn't got any naked men. So
luckily,
maybe I won't bother them.
I don't mind.
But it lost that. It didn't have anything. You know, it wasn't really fun. I wouldn't say it was a comedy. Very light moments of humour, but it's not funny.
It's just about
tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, really? So that's an acquired taste, that film.
Exactly.
And I really like that film.
It took me like two times to watch that to like it. But exactly what I say, it's an acquired taste. So there are people who are going to love this movie because they're going to say, oh, it's so kooky and arty and different.
Sometimes that can go wrong, though. And sometimes you think, yeah, well, definitely, 100%. But you're being pretentious now. Stop it. But, did they manage to actually capture the kookiness well? Or is it... You know, when you think, you're doing that on purpose, it's not good.
I found that I was watching it, and then I just found that I was like, I was getting distracted.
People were falling asleep in the cinema.
Oh, no.
People were falling asleep. I have told a lie. I actually did watch The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Samuel Jackson and Matthew McGrath.
Ryan Reynolds.
No, Ryan Reynolds. Tess and Hugh. Come on, duh. That was good. I expected that from them because they both are quite funny characters.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
It was good. That was good.
Yeah, that was, I actually preferred that better. At least there was. Yeah, yeah. Seen that. It was like there was rolling jokes in that.
And there was
more of a buddiness between Ryan and Samuel. Yeah.
But then Ryan Reynolds always plays Ryan Reynolds, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But it always works. I never get bored of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just like Deadpool as a hitman kind of thing.
What I hate about cinema, though, is you know when there's a joke, everyone's being pretentious, right? There's a joke and it's funny, but you know when there's not a joke, but people are like, ah!
Yeah.
It's like, it's not funny. Why
you
love it? Chill. Yeah.
So, Logan Lucky, I thought if you're a Channing Tatum fan, if you're an Adam Driver fan, go see it. Mm-hmm. But just be prepared that it's not quite what they're packaging it as.
To me, it looks like a comedy.
It isn't a comedy heist movie. It is a heist movie, but it hasn't got the. Like, Baby Driver was a heist movie.
Yeah.
And it was pacey and it was music and like you really got into it. This style is just really slow. I would probably wait to watch Logan Lucky.
Yeah,
I would say.
So would I. I agree.
There was a movie that I watched last night, which has just been released on Netflix, called What Happened to Monday.
Oh, I keep seeing that. Tell me.
Which was again a complete like surprise. I love a dystopian future.
Yeah,
that's the right bit of you.
Yeah. And this is the. Oh my gosh, her name's escaped me. But she played the original drag girl with a dragon tattoo.
Oh, wow.
Is it Noomi Rapace?
Noomi Rapace, yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
And she, who was in the Prometheus movies and stuff. So she basically plays an amazing role. She plays seven people.
Brilliant.
So in the future, so it's like, you know, like what is true, absolute epidemic overpopulation of the world. So if this is set in 2078, it's just too many people everywhere. So what they do is they make a rule that it's only one child.
Ooh.
No siblings allowed. One child per family. And they have it that if you are found with an illegal sibling, they take the sibling and they're going to cryogenically freeze them until they've sorted the population out, and then they can
bring them back again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoever wrote that so, is fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. No. For
but so what happens is this granddad ends up the mum dies in childbirth, but she leaves behind 7 identical baby girls, and so he says, I don't want to declare them. I want to keep all of them.
Yeah.
So he takes them home illegally, and they're all identical, and he raises them, and he calls them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
And they are each allowed to go out on that one day only. So they and they all take on the moniker of a girl called Karen.
That's so clever.
So this is 30 years later when she's like a grown up and the granddad's not alive anymore, and they all are completely different. So inside the house, you know, one's like this kind of slutty blonde girl, one's this like punky lesbian girl, and one's, they're all these like different characters. And it's on the day that Monday goes missing. She doesn't come back, and they're like, fuck, because we can't report her missing because there's only supposed to be one of us, and they can't be, we can't go out and look for her because there's only supposed to be one of us. And it's all, there's lots of twists and turns, and it's a lot more, I can see why Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, it's really violent, bit of a gore.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
And it's, so basically it's like the government of the 2078, and there's it's really good.
That sounds really good. Wicked.
Yeah. What happened to Monday? If you like a bit of a sci-fi future, and it's got a lot of action, a lot of guns and stuff. And a lot of there's some twists.
Don't spoil it.
Netflix is really bringing it lately.
Netflix is absolutely winning.
I finished
right
Ozark
now.
That was absolutely amazing. Yeah, finished it all actually that day, so it was 2 weeks ago. I went home from here and I was like, I'm not going to bed, I'm just going to watch it all.
Yeah, Ozark. That's amazing. Love Ozark. It's it is the one.
Yes.
And the other one, before I'm going to slot a little review in here because I'm going away next 2 weeks.
Oh
so this, it's not going to be a live show. But The Limehouse Golem is coming out next Friday, which I saw a few weeks ago now at a preview screening.
Yep.
And that is a good little murder mystery if you like your sort of Sherlock Holmesy, Jack the Ripper.
That Victorian era, showy, you know, it's quite gory as well, wasn't it? Quite violent.
Yeah,
and very twisty and turny.
It reminded me of like proper Sherlock Holmes before Sherlock Holmes became quite weird on the BBC. Like the if you're a Sherlock Holmes fan, I'm a Sherlock Holmes fan, but Sherlock Holmes used to be about Sherlock and Dr. Watson solving a murder, and it would be like an unusual murder, how the whodunit, it could have been this, but and then it sort of turned into this like really weird like kind of mindfuck thing.
Yeah.
And I loads of people were petitioning saying, please, can you just solve murders in your really cool, kooky way, please? If you like a little bit of a murder mystery, Limehouse Golem is good.
Very good.
Weird name. I was calling it Golem.
Me too.
The Limehouse Golem. But apparently in the movie they say Golem.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is a weird... I don't know if I would have called it that.
No, I think that was a little bit silly. I mean, obviously it is based on an actual...
It's based on what it is in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know. That's silly. They could have changed it.
But do you know what I mean? Like something more Jack the Ripper-y.
Golem.
Would have the golem. Mm.
Silly.
I think if you're afraid to pronounce it, it's a very bad idea for a title.
Oh, definitely.
Because if you're scared, you know, have you seen that movie?
I was boldly saying Golem the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
We've seen this week, Limehouse Golem. What's that then? Don't know.
Yeah, because people might not want to say it when they go in the cinema. What are you watching? Star Wars. Now, I haven't seen this, but this has just caught my eye because I am a Peter Dinklage fan from Game of Thrones, and he is in a movie that's coming out this year called Rememory.
Oh, which is fancy,
It's an amateur sleuth. Well, I had to Google what sleuth meant. No, it's not a sloth. It is. I was like, he's playing a sloth. No, it's an amateur detective steals a machine that can extract, record, and play the memories of another person.
Oh, excellent.
And he uses the device to try and solve the mysterious death of the man who invented it.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, bam, murder mystery, Peter Dinklage, brilliant, a weird machine, science fiction, Lionsgate made that.
I've just spotted that Anton Yelchin is in it.
Oh,
posthumously, obviously.
And he died.
Oh, amazing. Oh, amazing. That's got me hooked straight away. I'm going to see it.
That's coming out, September 8th, but I don't know if that's an American. I'm going to have to check my facts on that one. But yeah, I mean, oh, I love a bit of a machine that can, I think that's going to be possible in the next sort of 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
There is going to be a way to download your memories for sure. Mm. And that's going to, that's like the Black Mirror episode.
Black Mirror.
I was really excited the other day because I realised that I'd accidentally not watched like one of the Black Mirrors. So I've still got that to go.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to go and find like a moment that I can
sit down and enjoy.
Yeah.
Sit down and enjoy and enjoy that. Yes. Have I anything else that I've been watching? I'm just trying to like skim through. I've just got Now TV.
Okay.
So just because I, you know, thought, let's get another box set.
Well, yeah.
Random streaming service in. So I'm going to report back after the next couple of weeks on my holiday, after my holiday.
Lovely.
What is on...
What good stuff's on there.
Yeah, there's loads of really good movies like Moana and...
Yeah. Mm. Don't they also have Sky Atlantic on there?
Yep, Sky Atlantic's got... Yeah. You can, well, I think it's more of like... It's a bit like a kind of pick your package. So it's not like Netflix where it's just like you get the whole thing. You pick the entertainment box set or the movie box set or the whatever. And yeah, obviously they've got Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So there's the big Game of Thrones finale, is going to be on Sunday.
It's just too exciting. I just can't take it.
I'm going to have two nights in a row of no sleep this weekend because I've got the big fight on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stay up till 5 to watch that fight. Yeah. And then on Sunday night, we're going to stay up and watch the finale of Game of Thrones.
Sounds like a good idea, actually. Got Monday off. So.
No sleep for me. But,
you need sleep, hey?
Yeah, this is going to be epic. What are you guys doing for the fight?
I'm going to Poland. I'm flying over. Yeah, I'm doing a Vodafone commercial out there.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't even know what I'm going to do. Maybe stream it in the hotel. Maybe go to a local pub. Hi, guys. Yeah. I'd like to watch McGregor here.
Who do you think's going to win?
Mayweather. Let's not even have a discussion. It's not a discussion. It's a bias if you say anything
else. Can you
imagine? Do you know, I think it's going to be a disqualification.
Do you think?
Really?
Uh-huh. I think there's going to be some sort of... illegal move in there.
Do you know what? I can see that from Mr. Big Mouth
because he's
McGregor.
Just going to get in the mode and he's going to like
cheeky elbow
elbow drop him or something or like karate chop his throat and then just you know
he's going to forget himself
because
I think there's a lot of fighting is to do with muscle memory
exactly
and it's to
and
do
movements.
With like autopilot and I think if you've been able to like punch and kick for 4 years and suddenly you're not allowed to it's like
get
reflex
a
it's
going
to
be
definitely
100% I'm going to put my bets on. I think that Mayweather's going to knock out McGregor in the 5th round.
Do you know what? I'll drop a conspiracy theory before we end, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, boxers used to, on their way out, they used to conspire with their opponent and say, right, if we both put £1 million on a certain round knockout, we're going out anyway. Let's make some stupid money. That's a billion-dollar fight. And you know what?
Happened in the past.
Mayweather's going out. Conor's now set for life. I'm saying that there's going to be something that's going to be shocking and I think they're going to conspire. Come on, you have to respect each other.
Neither of them need any money. They're both disgustingly rich.
Like, no, they are,
but
you know
what?
But
then I suppose you get to that point and you just want more.
They've gamed it. They've gamed the system. It's all about money, isn't it? But anyway, McGregor. I mean, Mayweather. Fuck you, McGregor. Mayweather. I love you, bro. I love you. Okay.
Well, I hope you guys have an amazing weekend and get your sleep, whatever you can.
Just
hit the pillow, whenever you can.
Yeah,
power nap your way through. Background Chill will be back in a couple of weeks' time.
Woo!
The new school year.
Yeah.
School's in. Thank you, Lucy. We will see you
in the new year.
Yeah.
Once you've come back from Australia.
Yeah. All over the bloody world,
Is that Beyonce that you're going to play?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a bit of Beyonce.
Yes, I'm so happy!
Because we talked about what object, and I would say I'd be Beyonce's cup. So.
I love you, Beyonce.
I thought we'd end on a bit of Beyonce. Have a good week. We'll be back soon.
I love you, Beyonce.
I love you too.
I love you.
This should be...
I love you so much.
It's Halo.
I want it to end.
Lovely.
I'm
good
Beyonce
one.
Hearing that I love her. I love you, Beyonce.
my personal rendition of Beyoncé's Halo. Enjoy.